Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title for our message this morning is, would you join with me in reading it? What are you giving for Christmas? There's no sermon outline today, as is our custom, so don't be looking for that outline. I have a special message prepared for you. We read just briefly from Matthew chapter 2, some verses that Graham just read for us. Listen carefully to these words. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And they went on their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it stood over the place where the child was. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell to the ground, and they worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, our children told us this morning, and the scripture reading we just read told us, the wise men brought gifts to the Christ child. Gifts that were costly. Gifts that were symbolic of his worth to them and to all mankind. Gifts, as we'll learn soon, were symbolic of their very lives. In giving these specific gifts to the Christ child, the wise men were, in effect, laying their very lives before him and giving their lives to him. Let me briefly explain why this is so. Now, traditionally, gold, frankincense, and myrrh represents Jesus' worth and his purpose for all mankind. Gold, a gift fit for royalty, signifying Jesus' kingship. Frankincense, a fragrant incense used by priests in worship in the temple, signifying Jesus' heavenly priesthood. And finally, myrrh, an aromatic orange spice used for the anointing of dead bodies, signifying that soon this Jesus will grow to be the Savior who dies on the cross, giving his life for your sins and for mine. Now, this is the interpretation of these three famous gifts according to tradition. And this is not an impossible interpretation. But historically, these three gifts, these three substances, were also the tools of the trade for wise men. Wise men is an English translation for the Greek word magi, from which we get the word magician. These wise men were Eastern astrologers and magicians. They were likely from Persia, Khoras. They were likely from Iran. How about that? They were not Jewish believers awaiting their Messiah. They were non-Jews. They were Gentiles from a whole different background and religious structure, but they obviously had been studying the Hebrew Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. Probably passages like this one, Micah 5, verse 2. "But you, O Bethlehem, out of you will come one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." And they had been studying the stars, which was commonly understood at that day to announce important events for the world. And following this Christmas star, these wise men came to the place where the star was to bear witness to the birth of the Messiah, the Savior. Arriving where the Christ child was, these wise men presented their gifts. Did you listen carefully to Matthew chapter 2? It said when the wise men got to the house, they presented their gifts. Aha! Obviously, someone took mercy on the Holy Family and helped them move out of the barn and the stable and open their home to them. So by the time the wise men came, Matthew says, when they got to the house, they presented the gifts to the child. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, as we've just said, are tools of the trade. Those who study such historical things show us that these very substances, did you catch it? These very substances, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, were somehow used in their ancient roles as astrologers and magicians. So besides giving costly gifts to the Christ child, they were laying before Jesus their very means of making a living. Herb would be like a carpenter laying his tools before the baby Jesus. It would be like an athlete, John Pelling, laying his sports equipment before the baby Jesus. It'd be like a teacher laying her books before the baby Jesus. And as they bowed before the Christ child, these men were in effect giving themselves to Jesus and acknowledging him as their Lord and as their King. And soon these wise men disappeared into the pages of history, never to be mentioned again in Holy Scripture. But notice, on that first Christmas day, what did these wise men do? They gave gifts to Jesus. And so my question for you this morning is this. What are you giving to Jesus this Christmas? Is that a surprising question? I hope it is. Because mostly we ask a question like this. Marlene, what did you get for Christmas? Don't be cheap, Al. But instead today, we're asking this question. What are you giving for Christmas? To help you wrestle with this surprising question, I want to share with you now a pretend imaginative story. And so it has to begin once upon a time. Once upon a time, there was a town in which Christmas always came as a surprise. It was arranged in this way. The mayor of the town appointed a proclaimer of Christmas on every New Year's Day, and only the mayor knew who this proclaimer was. So when he or she proclaimed Christmas, it came as a complete surprise to everybody. But the surprise was even greater than you can imagine, because though the day of Christmas was not the same for every person, it wasn't. Each person had their own special Christmas day, appointed in secret, and it was only revealed to them on the night before the day they were to celebrate their Christmas. Now, perhaps you're wondering how this custom came about in this once-upon-a-time town. It was quite simple. The people of that town figured that since Christmas had first come completely unexpectedly, it made sense for them that thereafter, every Christmas day would come unexpectedly. You see, nobody realized on that very first Christmas day what great thing had just happened. Did you catch what I just said? Nobody really fully realized on that first Christmas day what a great thing had really happened. Jesus' parents, the shepherds, the wise men did not immediately comprehend the magnitude of what happened in that Bethlehem's manger. And since God had chosen to surprise the world with Christmas, well, in spite of plenty of advance notice by Old Testament promises, the people of this special town decided they would make Christmas Day a surprise for each individual in that town. The results were astonishing. For one thing, the people who were privately told that tomorrow would be their Christmas, take note, they had no time to prepare for Christmas Day. There could be no urgent and frenzied and crazy activity around Christmas to rob it of its true significance. After giving God thanks for the gift of Jesus, the person celebrating their Christmas simply had to give gifts to others that they immediately had on hand. Oh, and it was quickly discovered that on such short notice, it was easier to give oneself to somebody else than to give things wrapped in paper. So Christmas gifts became a special kind and loving deed, an invitation to somebody for supper who was hungry, a visit to a lonely or sick person, caring for somebody you met who was less fortunate than you. Now, the wonderful thing was not just these gifts were given on short notice. People discovered they were far more satisfying gifts to give than things wrapped in paper. Oh, but there was a problem. There was a problem. Can you guess what it might be? Since each person's Christmas was a surprise, only announced on the night before, there was no opportunity for the celebrants to receive gifts. No one could prepare for your day. So what happened? It was great. Since nobody knew quite when to give Christmas gifts, they give the gifts of love every day of the year. They used every day to thank God for his gift of love in that Bethlehem's manger. And Christmas meant more to the people in that town than it had ever meant before. Now that's the pretend, imaginative story. But the true meaning of Christmas is so simple and so clear. In the third chapter of John's Gospel, verse 16, he says it so well. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. In the baby Jesus, do you see what's happening there? In the baby Jesus, Almighty God is giving himself to sinful mankind as a sacrifice for their sin. You see, those tiny hands, can you see them? Those tiny hands in that manger grew to be the calloused hands of the Savior who was nailed to the cross for your sins and for mine. It's the same person. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son. And those tiny hands in the manger that reached up to his mother Mary to be taken to her breast, to be nursed and to be comforted. Those hands grew to be the Savior who allowed sinful men to nail those hands to the cross. Why? To pay for your sins, to pay for mine. As John says in his gospel, so that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. Christmas proclaims what the cross also declares. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you. For God so loved me that he gave the most precious gift of all. May we, my dear friends, especially as Christmas Day draws closer, respond to so great a love by doing what the wise men did of old, by giving our lives to the Lord Jesus. And may we then, in turn, give ourselves in love and compassion to whomever God places in our path. These are gifts fit for a king. These are gifts fit for our Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, what are you giving for Christmas? Amen.